We're going to be getting into Lesson 3. Of course, those who have been in the, came to the class last night and that we've had in the last really two studies we've had in our home, we've been talking about communication in marriage. I do, before we leave a point of Lesson 2, I want to talk about one area about some common sources of conflict in marriage, and then we'll get into Lesson 3. And that is the area of money. I just want to mention that that is a common source of conflict, and it's something that's very important in our day and time. We've gone through various phases in our country where there was easy credit, now tight credit. And it's important that when you enter into the relationship of husband and wife that you understand God's arrangement. And that arrangement is man is to be the breadwinner, Genesis 3:19. We talked about how, or the scriptures will talk about how man was going to, from the sweat of his brow, provide for his home. Ephesians 4:28 likewise talked about that, how a man is to provide so he can give to those who have need and provide for his home as well. And just one of the points that I would like to emphasize, and I would like to talk with couples before they enter into marriage about this, you cannot always control certain things that come up from a financial standpoint. You can't always control that. But you do need to recognize some of the consequences of paths that you may take. It's certainly God's arrangement that man be the breadwinner and that the woman's primary role be that of the household and the home. And when you have a situation where the woman has to work, when there's children in the home, you end up putting the woman into two full-time jobs. It could be done. But it's best that that not be done. You can't always change that. Circumstances, you know, that come up today. But I'm saying you will not regret making a commitment toward that and doing everything you can to do that. I'm not saying a woman cannot work outside the home. You read about the worthy woman of Proverbs 31, and you see her buying and trading and selling. But the thing is that you want to be sure that the woman has the be able to commit herself totally to God's arrangement for her. And I've seen situations, close friends, who had health issues and other issues come up, and ended up the mother had to not just work full-time, but work extensively. And I really could tell you, even though their children turned out well, you can see the difference in the children with the time the mother was in the home and then, you know, as younger children were there at a different time where the mother was gone a lot. It affects a lot of things. I think we all would recognize that and understand that. You can plan financially. There are things you can do before children come to make yourself be in a much better position for this. And so one of the things I really counsel young couples on is that when you first get married and you both choose to work, there's nothing wrong with that, try to really learn how to manage money. Learn how to have something laid aside for maybe the time where you go to one income. Not always easy to do, but it's a real challenge. But that's one of the things that I've tried to talk with young couples about. Of course, obviously, as we talk about the relationship and the outline of that, it's important that it's not my money. It's, you know, you're working together toward this and toward those goals. So that's I wanted to talk about that one thing in Lesson 2 before we got into 3. Any comments along these lines? Okay. Now, Lesson 3, we're going to talk about communication in marriage. And a lot of this, you'll notice some of the similar material to what we've covered in our Saturday night classes, but it's okay for us to cover these again. I believe it's important. In any relationship, if the relationship is going to be a significant one, you have to learn how to communicate. Communication is a skill. It's a learned thing. And you'll find, you'll learn about one another. You need to do that. Why do we need to learn about one another in a marriage relationship? Now, wait, but I know that some of you, well, see, what's the Star Trek ones that can read minds, you know? What is that? The Anyway, they see Star Trek, they got those that can read minds and read emotions. If you're one of those, then you don't need to communicate, okay? If you have that ability. But you can make sure your mate can read minds, too. You both have to read minds if you don't, you know, if you've got that skill. If not, it's Betazoid. Yeah, it's a Betazoid back at the Star Trek thing. So one of the things we need to understand is that we need to understand the needs and the thoughts of the other. Remember the basic study of marriage, we talk about any relationship is based on what? Any relationship is based on what?
Communication
and fulfilling needs. And if I don't know what my mate needs, I can't provide it. And you see, one of the things about us guys, we like to think, and I'm sure women can do this too, that we just know. We just know. I just know what my mate needs. And my mate just knows what I need. And that's not true. It's just not true. Matter of fact, you know, as you go on with life, man, so many things change. And so the need of communication is always there. And, you know, some of us are better in communication than others. Now, I don't know if it just goes with male and female differences. But I can't help but think, I know this is kind of a silly thing, but we've got a female cat. And our female cat is one of the best communicators I've ever seen. You'll know when the cat is hungry or when something else is wrong, and she'll just talk, you know. And I don't know if that would be characteristic of a difference in men and women, but I think in general that women tend to be stronger with relationships. And us guys tend to be stronger with doing things and accomplishing things. It's probably a God-given difference. And there's always exceptions. And so communication has not always been one of my strengths. And if that's the case, you know, you've got one that can communicate well and one that can't, we got to learn. This is something that is very important. If you're going to really, as we talk about maturity, as we talk about humility, we talk about not being selfish or being selflessness, which is a characteristic of a Christian, you will see this in communication. Let's do some reading here. Who wants to read Proverbs 8, 12 through 13 for me? From the chart. Who wants to do that? Okay?
Before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty, and before honor is humility. He who answers a matter before he hears it is folly and shame to him.
I like to include verse 12 here. Quite interesting. Couple of different attitudes. What does the haughty man, you know, what the haughty man end up finding? Destruction. You know, I don't need to be told. I know nobody's going to tell me anything. Okay. All right, just jump off the ledge. And then honor, before you get honor, is what? Humility. And so now, communication 101. What's the first step to good communication? I mean, I'm not talking about character, but just the actual process.
Listen.
Being able to listen. You know, if you're talking all the time, you're not listening, are you? And so learning to listen, and actually one of the things you'll find, the skill of listening, there's a skill there. Sometimes you've got to know when the time comes to get somebody who doesn't like to talk, and then listen then. You know, sometimes, you know, for some of us that may not feel like talking often, if the time comes, you need to learn how to take advantage of that time and recognize it, and particularly listen there, yes.
She said, and this is a woman who has four children, but she said she had to learn with each of her children. I know we're more talking about marriage, but
yes.
Wife, each of her four children were very different. They would be different as to when, or what time of day, actually, they would open up and talk to her. And it's very specific, but it was very regular. And she had to figure out, okay, this child, when he comes in from school, that is when he will talk to me. It's the only time she had it, he would open up and talk to her, and she tried to make herself available at that time every day because she knew this child, you know, would need to talk, and same thing with the others. But I remember giving that example and thought, that's good advice. And I guess it might be true with spouses or women.
It's true with folks in general. It really is. You know, I found it's kind of funny. Yvette and I, when we were dating, we ran a lot together. And I found this is kind of strange. Maybe it's not so strange for a guy, but I'll talk more during that time. And then after a workout. Now, if I've been working hard and I'm in stress and I come in, that's not the good time to talk to me. you know, it's quite interesting as you look at yourself. And you sometimes the first step is knowing yourself and understanding some things and communicating that to your mate. And it's good for us as mates to listen. There are things that our mate will tell us that makes no sense to us. This is not how we function. But your mate is not you. And so that's why, again, being able to be a good hearer is so important to a relationship. Again, we can broaden this to other relationships, as Ben has already mentioned. Quote we have in the outline, it says, Peter Drucker, often called the father of American management, claims that 60% of all management problems are a result of faulty communications. A leading marriage counselor says at least half of all divorces result from faulty communications between spouses. And criminologists tell us that upwards of 90% of all criminals have difficulty communicating with other people. And so what we're talking about here and learning this is good at every level. I mean, we talk about local churches good. We talk about men's business meetings and other things, you know, and how things go and don't go well. You know, communication is a critical element here. And so a good barometer of a relationship is the quality of the communication. Now, just to get you in trouble a little bit here, some of you guys may not want to do this, you know, ask this question, but you might have analysis of how well you communicate, and then you might ask your wife how well you communicate, you know, and there could be a difference, and likely is a difference in your perception and their perception. And so, again, I'll let that be your homework to kind of make yourself be vulnerable there. Ask this question and see what the answer is. And one of the things I think is valuable as well, and that is to understand that most marriages will go through rocky times. You'll have difficult times. And if you're aware, if you're alert to a problem, and you react and communicate, then you're generally going to be fine. The danger comes is when the danger signs are there and you just go on and don't do anything. It's just like, in, you know, like driving a car. Stephen was telling me that his car, that we have these ancient cars, and, you know, he was starting to have some issues. It might be a transmission issue, so that's kind of got our attention. It's not a major issue yet, but one of the things we need to go is immediately jump on that and see if we can take care of it. Our cars, by the way, most of our cars, we have to do not resuscitate, you know, signs on all of them, you know, so we may be in the market for another used car next year. But we can't do that with marriages. We don't put do not resuscitate signs on marriages. We don't do that. Okay, we've got to fix them regardless of where we're at here. And again, we talk about this over and over again, is that, you know, being a Christian, and I think this was brought out last night in our discussion, that being a Christian, really, the values of faith in God, of the love of God, of the hope of heaven, those things create within us a spirit that if we have the spirit of a Christian, then that will be reflected in our marriage. In Philippians 2, 3, and 4, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in the lowliness of mind, let you esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. And you know, when I, as a Christian, when I think of God forgiving me, one thing I think about constantly, I'm not worthy. I don't deserve this. I have been given a gift that is far beyond anything that I've ever deserved. And could I say this in marriage? You need to think this about your mate. You need to think, I don't deserve this one. And this is a great gift. I really don't always show it. I want to think of my mate as better than me. And that I'm the one that is undeserving. And if you will keep that mindset in mind, of course, it's true in other Christians we should think that way. It's not just marriage, okay? But here's a mindset that if you will keep that in your mind, it will be tremendously beneficial in your communication and many other things. But I know that in my heart, sincerely, I thank God each day for how He has provided for me, how He's provided for our home. And so, again, that humility is so critical to maintain a good marriage. Now, talk about communication. The reason why we need to communicate is that we could easily drift apart. Our relationship with God, we have that warning. In Hebrews 2, verse 1, it says, therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest we drift away. Let's talk about drifting just a moment. Even in the relationship with God, we can start there. How do you drift away from God?
responses by not communicating with them.
That's right. You kind of, everything's fine. Everything's good. And your attention start going elsewhere. Hey, this is fixed, you know. This is running well. Like the car, you know. Hey, man, everything's working good. Don't need to check the oil anymore. Don't need to, you know, do any maintenance. Everything's fine. And then what happens over time? You get into that mindset where you're overconfident. And you start seeing steps, predictable steps. And many times as you're drifting, you may at one moment look up and then another moment look up and, well, it doesn't seem like anything's happened. Drifting becomes significant over what? Over time. And so that's why classes like this are good, if nothing else, to remind us of what we need to know. You cannot be overconfident and not face terrible consequences. We do not live in a family-friendly society. I cannot tell you, one of the things that helps me somewhat is looking back within the church of the failed marriages. And understand that, no, because you're a Christian, your mate's a Christian, that doesn't mean you're going to make it. You need to have humility, but also an awareness that this is something you don't play with. This was brought out last night, but how does schedule affect us? How does schedule affect us, giving us a potential of being in a situation to drift? If you're not at each other, how well can you communicate? If you're busy and tired all the time, how well can you communicate? Now, I tell you, you have children come, that changes things, doesn't it? It changes a lot of things with schedule and time. You have other situations in life that come up and change things. And so you've got to find to make time. And again, we talked about already that the time and circumstances create a lot of changes. And there's always problems to be solved. Another little point here, and I think we might have talked about this in past times, but in marriage, it's not finding the perfect mate. You know, I think I did, but, you know, not everybody can do that. But it's not just finding the perfect mate, but really the key skills in marriage is learning to communicate and solve problems. Marriage is just a place, it's like a local church, and we only accept perfect people here at the university, right? No, we don't do that. We accept people that want to serve the Lord, and we try to help each other grow. And in marriage, you find that compatibility and that love, and you come together as husband and wife. It's not as two perfect people. You're in an arrangement where you can grow and learn, and you need to understand that it's learning how to face problems and work them out. Now, what happens to the one? And this is a typical problem with man. You know, men, a lot of times, you know where men can gain their esteem, how they feel, how things are going? You know, generally speaking, how men many times will feel about their life? They'll look at how they function at work. And if work is going well and everybody's praising them, life's great. Now, what's left out of that? Is your work your marriage? I doubt it. I don't think you work with your wife in terms of your... What happens many times is that you've got the realm of your work and then there's the realm of your home, and you can be satisfied with the realm of your work and just assume everything's fine at home. This is a common mistake of men. And you can end up saying, I don't know what's wrong with her. It'll go away. I just kind of, you know, everything's pretty good. I don't know why you're upset, but, you know, I just kind of ignore it. What happens when we ignore problems? Let's talk about the sluggard in the book of Proverbs. What happens to the sluggard? How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep? So shall your poverty come upon you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. What happens when we put it off? Becomes huge. And it's harder to deal with a problem when you've got somebody, let's say your mate, that says they're not listening, they don't care, they are not doing, and then maybe anger builds up on that, and then you've got a real problem. This is where it becomes much more difficult to communicate. And sometimes you'll find good people that are so filled with anger because they've neglected things. They actually need help. Somebody from the outside to come in, a counselor or some third party to somehow diffuse it and get all the emotion out and get them calmed down so they can start doing what they really should have been doing a long time down the road. And so that's one of the dangers here in ignoring communication. Tell you what let's do here. Let's go straight to discussion questions here. And I think we've made these points, and we'll be making them. Oh, yeah, I got to include a little something I didn't include in the outline. Astronaut Michael Collins, speaking at a banquet, quoted the estimate that the average man speaks 25,000 words in a day and the average woman 30,000. Then he added, unfortunately, when I come home each day, I've spoken my 25,000 and my wife hasn't started her 30,000. So I thought that was a humorous little quote on the differences in men and women. Okay, let's talk about some things in discussion. Why do some people choose not to communicate? What was it, that famous movie where the sheriff had the prisoner? What we have here. Okay, what's the quote? Yeah, what we have here is a failure to communicate. What was the movie again?
Cool Hand Luke.
Oh, Cool Hand Luke. Okay, I always like that. That share, you know, sweat. We have a failure to communicate. Okay, let's talk about that. Why do we have a failure to communicate? Why do some people choose not to communicate? Now, if none of you have ever had that problem, then I understand why we have blank stares right now. Nobody has it. You're right. It's kind of like, is this thing going to blow up and I get hurt? You know what am I dealing with here? You know, particularly when you know there's, you ask the question, is something wrong? You know, you got to get the idea through the nonverbal, body language, something's wrong. That's a dangerous thing to ask that question, you know. All right. Why else? Why do some people choose not to communicate? It makes you, puts you in a vulnerable situation. Now let me ask you this. Would you want to be vulnerable with just anyone? I don't. You'll find me to be a cool and careful guy, as a rule, in my dealing with people. But now there's some people that I'll be vulnerable with. And generally, you know who those people are? People I trust. People that I believe love God and love me. Only fools will make themselves vulnerable to people they don't know and don't trust. And so again, do you trust your mate? You know, see, things can break down. And you get to the point that you don't trust them. You don't want to talk to them. More things. Why do people choose not to communicate?
Sometimes you get mad. Like, I'm not married yet, but I've gotten upset at Jeremy a couple times. And I just didn't want to talk to him.
Well, of course, that's a good rule anyway if you've got anger. Now, it depends on why you're doing, why you're not talking. You know, is it that you're not talking so your anger can subside? Or are you not talking because of your anger?
A little bit of both, probably.
Okay, you see, now that's when, what you'll find there, and we'll talk about anger and communication in probably another outline, but that is one. It's this, you know, injecting anger into a relationship sometimes can get you anger on the other side. It's interesting. Not everyone, you know, we think of angry people that holler at you, but, you know, angry people can just withdraw from you. It depends on personality. A person can be just as angry as another, and one of their ways is to withdraw. And so, that's true. Anger can cause you, depending on personality type. Now, another personality type, you shout at somebody, stomp the dust out of the carpet. And sometimes others will pull back and withdraw. I tend to be the withdrawal guy. You know, I'd rather not you see my anger. So I'll just kind of pull back. So we all got different ways, personality types, and how we respond. Okay, some other. Why do some people choose not to communicate?
Just don't enjoy it.
Huh?
Just don't enjoy it.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, that's how we're put together. In some cases, that's just not the fun thing. But What do we do when we need to do something that we don't like to do? What does maturity do? Yeah, we do it. And so it's good to recognize that about you. You know, I like to do things I'm good at. Now, there's a t-shirt that Yvette bought for me about 10 years ago. I don't ever wear it unless I'm just out of clothes. But I've got to remember how it's worded. If I can't win, I won't play, or something like that. I can't remember. It's kind of like crayons, you know. How I tend to like to play things I can win, okay? I'm that way, all right? I'm a competitive guy. And I generally won't get into something until I get good at it, you know. And so I'm not that bad as a t-shirt. But some people, if I can't communicate well, I'm just not going to do it. Other reasons why people don't communicate? Go ahead, Vic.
Some people don't know how, because of the home they came from, or maybe bad experiences have shut them down. And they really legitimately don't know how, because they've never learned, or it's gone badly, and they just have shut down for those reasons. Don't want to try.
Yes. Now, I want to tell you, if you let your circumstances pull you back from communication, you're going to have psychological problems over time. This is not just good for a relationship, but it's really good for you as a person. And it is true that homes, angry homes, other kind of homes come up, and people, you know, you learn how to communicate generally from what you see in your home. And if you've had a more difficult home, then you're going to have more difficulty in your marriage. Now, you can, with God's help, develop this skill. But when you understand this is a skill to develop, for your home, for your children, and it'll benefit you, then you make that effort. Okay. What must be in the heart of one if effective communication will take place?
Open to actually listening physically, but listening in your heart to the response.
Okay. And that's right. Remember, we talked about this last night in the study, but Jesus in his ministry, many times he would tell a parable and make this statement, if anyone has an ear to hear, let him hear. Not everyone can listen. I mean, everyone can. Not everyone chooses to. Now, what's the attitude? What's the spirit that's willing to listen? What do you call that? Well, what's the spirit in the heart of somebody that's willing to put themselves at risk to listen? Humility, humble, being humble. So again, let's remember that. Why do some put off communication? Now, I typed things this morning, by the way. Why do some put off communication about serious issues? Why do some put that off?
Afraid of what's going to come back.
Yeah, maybe it'll fix itself. Yeah, that's right. We just got to put this off, and maybe they'll blow over it, they'll forget about it. Yeah, okay. What happens when this occurs? If your solution to a problem is to give it some time and not say anything, what happens? It generally gets worse. No, sometimes you may be right. It may be a temporary thing, and that time just fixed it. So, but as a rule, that's a bad way to approach it. Okay, here's something we talked about last night. We haven't talked about it in this class a lot. What are some basic differences between men and women in their communication? What's some differences?
My dad told me that men ask questions for information. Mm-hmm. But women will sometimes, like, imply a motive in a question. Like, my dad would come in sometimes and ask mom, like, you know, how much longer till dinner? Just because he just wanted a number to see if he had time to fix something or whatever. And she would take it to mean, you know, I want it now. You know, I'm impatient. And so sometimes women have motives and so have just one information.
It's true. That's men. What are men generally? We're asking questions, communicating to do what? To fix it, to go do something we like to do. And women generally communicate for what reason? And the just talk many times is to relieve stress and to bond with someone, and it's a very different reason for communication, and this is extraordinarily difficult for men and women to understand. By the way, I have some extra outlines here from the Saturday night class, and I've got a section for men or for Mars, women or for Venus in it that you might want to look at along these lines since there's some additional resource material. But that is something that it took me. I've read about it in books on marriage and didn't understand it. I didn't understand what it meant. It took me to get married and then to and for us to Dent and I to talk about it to understand. It's still not easy. I'm still, my natural response, if you communicate with me, then you're giving me problems I got to fix. And it's okay, but problems to fix, I get too many of them, I get stressed. I want to stop this. And so there's different reasons. What else, some other differences in men and women in communication?
We talked last night about how men will internalize their emotions until they can properly structure some type of communication with someone else. Women will take their emotions and throw them out there in communication, and that's where they arrange them, not internally.
Yeah. It's a big difference. And so, if we don't understand that, my stress can go up. And particularly trying to logically follow this, ski trip or whatever, what do you call it? We're going here and there, and, I'm trying to put it together, and I have to understand that's not the purpose of the communication there. And so that is very, very, very valuable. There's a lot more differences in what we've talked about here this morning. Go ahead.
My in-laws, Chris's parents, have done marriage seminars at their church. And one of the guys that came in, my mother-in-law and I laughed about it because we think it's such a good example. He talks about how men are waffles and women are a bowl of spaghetti. And for men, they compartmentalize everything and it fits into this little box on the waffle. Yeah. But for women, everything is intertwined, and it's not a separate situation. It's all connected, and we're just a bowl of spaghetti, and everything mingles in for us. So.
That's very edifying. Good thing we're not too close to the lunch. Be distracted. Get focused. Okay. Excellent. I like that illustration. I still don't fully understand it. I don't have to accept it. Men are from waffles and women are from spaghetti. How about that? Okay.
I read about an interesting study one time that someone did where they just had an empty room and two chairs and they told pairs of men and pairs of women to just go in and talk. And every one of the men would go in there and just point the chairs at a blank wall and sit there and stare at the wall and talk. Every one of the women turned the chairs facing each other and would look at each other and talk. So it's interesting how even like eye contact and looking at each other with women is important versus men who just sit there and stare at a blank wall and talk.
Yes, that's very good. That's really good. As I remember, at times of the event, she wonders why not stare off into space. Are you listening? And try to do that driving. I'm following the traffic, I can't look over here. Do that. That's just a good point. And of course, another thing I do, if I'm having to communicate, if I'm in a risky situation, I want my chair to the wall, so at least I got my back covered, nobody can come back. So anyway, just some other things. We're getting in vulnerable territory, so might be a little different there. Okay, we haven't had a second bell ring yet, have we? Okay, let's see if we got another question here. What things can change a marriage over time that requires continual communication?
Children,
big time. We talked about that last night as well. That when particularly women with small children, they'll enter into a whole new world. And a whole new world that doesn't have adult conversation, And there's a need there of being able to understand that and help. And it's like when you're on two different planets, and many times you are. Communication becomes much more difficult, but that's where there's that willingness to communicate and understand. What other things happen over time? What other things change the need?
In regards to communication, regards to that, I think of, it was either the apostles or Jesus that was charged with speaking of the dead one. And the answer was, well, a house divided cannot stand.
Right.
So if you have two parents or two spouses without children who are constantly against each other,
yes,
your house will fall to crumbs.
Right.
If you're not working together.
And I would say, being a Christian, it will help you work that out, because the Lord is Lord. And you should be able to. But if you're not a Christian, that becomes extraordinarily difficult. But you got to apply. Thank you for your participation today. Enjoyed it. And we'll finish up this outline maybe next week.